the man who has been to more tracks than anybody in the world. No, no, not me, my guest. This is Jalopy Jack, the Jalopy Track. WLAR will be with my guest in just a moment. As you know, we update every Thursday. I believe my guest has a lot to say. I'm going to dispense with a future guest, with the exception of Will White in 2 weeks, and we'll also be talking about the same subject matter we're talking about tonight. But I do have an announcement besides reminding you that you can leave messages at the end of the 10 minutes after the tone. But besides that, might be a possible change of the job situation for me. If that happens, this line may be affected. So what I recommend, if this line is not updated by Friday, get on to the website I write for, www.longislandmotorsports.com. Click on to my column, Around the Track with Jalopy Jack, and there will be an explanation. There might be an explanation on the front page, actually, if that situation should arrive. What has arrived is a man coming on to WLAR for a second time, and he has been to, I believe, 1,172 tracks throughout the world, more than anybody else, and he's working on more, and we're lucky to get him. Well, I don't know if he considers himself not lucky not to be at a track tonight, but we're lucky to have him at any rate. Why don't you introduce the world's number one track chaser, Randy Lewis.
Hey, Jack, how you doing today? It's nice to be on again.
Was that 1172 figure right?
That's correct, yep.
Okay, great. Well, we are talking about British racing, and you've seen 40 tracks, and I understand you want to do, you know, a comparison on many different aspects of race going and racing between the British racing and the American racing. So the floor is yours, Randy.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, I've actually been over to the UK about 6 or 7 different times. I've seen 42 different racetracks over there, all the way from road courses like Silverstone, where they run Formula One Grand Prix cars, to the little autograss tracks, which are run out in the farmer's field, and somewhere in the middle, all of the oval tracks and that sort of thing. So I've got a lot of experience in seeing the UK. By the way, I wanted to say I listened to your messages last week with Stephen Bubb, and sounds like he's never been to the UK to watch a race, but I've never heard anybody who had a better understanding of what the UK is all about, given the fact that he's never been there. But he gave a great explanation of what the racing is about over there.
Yes, Steve Bubb is excellent on his research for racing.
A couple of years ago, I wrote kind of a comparison between the UK and the USA from a racing fan's point of view. I thought maybe I'd share that, some of the points that were made then. One of the unique things about seeing racing in the United Kingdom is the fact that you do not need a pit pass to go into the pits. Obviously, in the U.S., most of the time, those pit passes cost about twice what a general admission ticket does. But you can actually pull into the parking lot in the U.K. and oftentimes walk into the pit area without ever having to enter the grandstand area, which is unique. And they have children in the pits, and it's crowded in there, and the cars are running around, and I like that part of it, being able to go into the pits without having to pay an extra charge. Another thing I like from a racing fan's point of view is that in the UK there are virtually no rainouts. I have watched races for 3 hours in a downpour of rain, and they just keep racing, regardless of whether they're racing on asphalt, which they call tarmac, or on dirt, which they call shale. So going to a track, knowing you're not going to get rained out, is pretty good. Another thing they do is they have handicapped starts. The Formula One stock cars are probably the highest grade of short track cars they have there, and they'll start their very best guys in the back, maybe 30th place, and they'll still be able to get to the front by the end of the race. They also handicap the cars based upon their previous performance, and what they do there is the rooftop designates who the best guys are, and the very best guys will start about a half a lap behind, and so they'll give them a green flag, and there'll be some cars at the start-finish line, some cars about 50 yards behind them, and all the way around, or about halfway around the back of the backstretch, and that's how they start the race. And these guys still come up from the very back, pass about 20 cars, and usually are right there for the win.
I guess that maybe keeps the pileups down a little, too, the first couple of laps.
It does, but another unique thing about the United Kingdom racing is that rarely do they use a yellow flag. This is one of the most unique things I've ever seen. And again, think about the Formula One stock cars that are somewhat equivalent to the World of Outlaw sprint cars. They can have two cars stop dead in the turn, and they will continue the race without a yellow flag. Can you imagine Steve Kinser being broadside stopped in turn one, and they don't stop the race? So you just keep racing. Rarely do they use yellow flags, and that keeps the program moving. And they also have much larger fields of cars. They can start 20 to 30 cars in a heat race. And it may only be 12 laps, but if you don't have any yellow flags, even though you're going to have a lot of wrecks and spins, it keeps the program moving, and it's very exciting for the fans. And the facilities in the U.K. are right out of World War II. They're not very good at all. The concession stands are really run down. The heating sometimes is non-existent. You either bring a blanket and sit on a hillside, or you stand for the entire meeting. There are a couple of tracks that have some enclosed grandstands for the inclement weather, but generally it's a flat 400-meter track with no grandstands, and you just stand. There's very, very few bleacher setups at all. It's pretty expensive to travel around the U.K. I know fuel in the United States right now is about $2.50, $3 a gallon, depending upon where you live. But in the U.K., fuel is roughly $6 to $8 a gallon. So in the 42 tracks I've seen over in England and Scotland and so forth, I've driven a lot of miles, and at $6 to $8 a gallon, your fuel expense can really add up. The announcers are a lot of fun. They really entertain the crowd. Obviously, listening to English accents is unique for me when I go over there. And every time I've been interviewed by these guys, they're really enthusiastic and supportive of people coming from the U.S. to watch their racing. So those are just a few points I thought that folks listening in might be interested in with regard to sort of a comparison between England racing and United States racing.
Okay, the fuels they use for the racing cars, are they racing fuels, or does it depend on the classes?
I think it depends upon the class. I suspect that the higher-level cars are definitely using racing fuel, but they have a wide range of cars. Think of the demolition derby-type car. That would be a banger, and the banger racing is really exciting. It's no holds barred. You can wreck people all you want, and some of the crashes they have in banger racing, I saw one car at Wimbledon Stadium, which is also the location where they have the tennis tournament, the Wimbledon tennis matches. I saw a race there from an indoor grandstand where one of the car's back wheels were torn off entirely, and because it was a front-wheel drive car, the guy continued around and completed the race with the back end dragging and, you know, two wheels, front wheels, pulling the car ahead.
Boy, that's quite something. And the dirt tracks in the rain, I mean, how do they handle that? Does it ever get so bad that they can't race? Or, you know, have you just not experienced that maybe?
I have never had a rain out. I've had a couple of autograss tracks. Imagine autograss is virtually a farmer's field. At one track I went to before they started the races, all of the drivers came out, laid down tires to mark out an oval track, and when they started it was grass, and when they finished it was chewed up dirt. And I actually got invited to race in an autograss event, and I was given a driver's uniform, and over there that class of racing drives in a clockwise direction, which is opposite of what we most oval tracks race at here. It was a right-hand steer car and a left-handed gear shift. Stick shift. I got to admit, I only got 8th place out of 10, but I had the time of my life, and I got it all on video, so it was pretty cool.
Oh, great. Well, unfortunately, we're just about out of time, probably other aspects we can get into. But, you know, if I can catch you again, not going to a track on a Thursday, love to have you back sometime.
Well, good. It's always nice to get on here, and I enjoy calling in, listening to the other guests you have. You've had a lot of interesting people in auto racing, and I'm sure you'll continue to do that.
Thank you very much. Fans, your turn to leave a message. Hope to hear from you. See you next.